Hi, welcome to episode 448 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm Dave Elliott, and I have a prediction. Marvel Comics will not be turning Johnny Storm into an African-American to make him more like the movie version. Today, the 448th issue of the Fantastic Four, it's Fantastic Four, Volume 3, Number 19, from July 1999. Down and Out in the Negative Zone by Chris Claremont and Salvador LaRocca. So the story picks up after the FF have teleported away from that planet where they were held captive in Shadow City. And there are a couple of pages that detail what happened next. The FF teleported to a planet called Chelimic Prime, where they were briefly employed by the Bureau of Monsters Management, and they teleported to Croysok and ran afoul of the Horrolin, a race that exchanged their bodies of flesh for bodies of robots. And then they teleported to a quiet planet where nothing eventful happened, and Reed just studied the clouds of gas that formed an orbital ring around the local sun. And then they teleported to a place where they found themselves fighting a bunch of killer crystal spiders. The kingdom of crystal spiders, I guess. And then they teleported to an alien world in a city called Argor. And I'm left thinking to myself, did I miss an issue? When the hell did all this crap take place? I checked the 1999 annual. It's not there. There are no footnotes as to when these stories took place. So I think, just like that flashback with Reed and the Child Monk last issue, these are just snippets of story ideas that Claremont is throwing out there for no reason. This is like the opposite of modern-day comic book storytelling, where they spread out a story to six issues to fit into a trade paperback. Here, he's taking four trade paperbacks worth of story and compressing it down into just a few pages. I'm not sure I like that. I kind of want to see them working for the Bureau of Monsters Management. So the main story begins with the FF on Argor, and they're in this big city. And there's a big statue of this guy who looks like Annihilus. And they look around and they find a restaurant to eat at. I'm not sure how they're going to pay. Do they have Argor money? Reed is expressing concern that his teleporter might only work one more time. He says it's hard to get it to send them home because there's something screwy going on with the very cosmos. Sue expresses that she loves her life, loves the adventure, loves the danger, but she misses her son. And what's going to happen to him if something happens to them? My guess, he'd live a better, safer life. For some reason, Johnny gets on the floor and starts massaging his sister's bare feet. Ugh. I can't imagine any situation where I would actually touch my sister's feet. It's especially creepy when you consider that Sue is basically a twin of Johnny's ex-wife, the faux Alicia Elijah the Scroll. So the meal is over, and the waiter comes over with the bill, and guess what? Of course, they can't pay. So they end up washing dishes. I've always wondered, is that a real thing? Like, if I have a dinner somewhere, but I can't pay, can I work it off by washing dishes? And what happens to the actual dishwasher? Do they send him home early? Poor guy. I mean, what if that happens a lot? And at the end of the month, the dishwasher can't pay his bills because too many people worked off their meals by washing dishes. And what if you eat at a fancy restaurant and the bill turns out to be several hundred dollars? Do they have you stay for the whole week and wash dishes? And at this point, it looks like Reed and Ben bailed out on Sue and Johnny. The issue doesn't make this clear, but I think they left the restaurant early, leaving only Sue and Johnny to work it off. Sue has to wash dishes, and they put Johnny in a waiter's outfit, which he complains about being too tight. Which, considering the guy wears a skin-tight uniform all day long, it must really be tight. And out in the restaurant, Johnny gets hit on by this brutish, balding, bearded alien dude, who says, "I've never had a mammal, and I get what I want." He really needs to work on his pickup lines. That's not gonna work. At least not on Johnny. Maybe if Ben were around. Johnny flames on and the dude jumps back and Johnny says, "There's a first time for everything, lady." Lady? The guy clearly looks like a dude. I don't know why Johnny thinks that he's a lady. I mean, if it were a lady, which I don't think it is. Suddenly, everything starts shaking, and there's a loud rumbling. Johnny, or Sue, shouts out that it must be an earthquake. Good thing Reed isn't there to hear that. It's not an earthquake, it's an Argorquake. Everyone runs out of the building, and Johnny and Sue find Reed and Ben. They look up and see this giant spaceship trying to land on the city. And the only thing holding it back is this 10-mile-tall pylon constructed, apparently, to keep giant spaceships from landing on the city. And then this big squad of alien soldiers called Proctors, they fly down from the alien ship and flood the city. The locals run for their lives, and Sue turns herself and her teammates invisible. But then, on the next panel, Ben and Johnny aren't invisible, and Ben pushes Johnny out in front of some of the Proctors as bait. And while Johnny distracts them, Ben sneaks up behind them. And on the next page, the FF are changing into outfits stolen from the alien soldiers. And over the city, a large holographic image of Annihilus appears, saying,
"There are invaders among you. Those who deliver them unto us will be rewarded."
I assume he's talking about the FF. Reed notices that the guns they're using are based on some of his own designs. And now that would be a great story. Reed sues Annihilus for patent infringement. Reed recalls how after they disappeared in the Heroes Reborn universe, Four Freedoms Plaza was stripped of all its inventions. Maybe it was by Annihilus. That's probably one of the perils of having a door to the negative zone in your house. People can come in and steal shit. Hey, you want to come to Earth and steal some fantastic weapons? Here you go. Here's a convenient doorway that will take you right to a host of amazing weapons and inventions for you. So they dress up Ben as a prisoner, Chewbacca style, and they have to head up to the ship, which is 10 miles high because of that pylon. And to do so, Sue has to create a 10-mile-high invisible platform, which does not sound like a lot of fun to stand on. And it's a huge strain to get up there, and when they do, Sue loses control and almost falls, but Reed has to stretch out and catch her. But then they get inside, and they start looking around the ship, leading Ben around like their prisoner. Reed uses a tracker to find some of his equipment, and he has Ben rip open a hole in the wall, and once on the other side, he's immediately zapped in the chest by Annihilus. He says he's long been anticipating this moment to face his foes in battle and bring about their annihilation. This cat is totally obsessed with living up to his name. So first, Sue strikes at Annihilus with a force field, and then it's clobbering time as Ben takes a swing at him. Reed, meanwhile, decides to run away. Well, kind of more like he stretches away. With his teammates distracting Annihilus, Reed goes over to a box of components and finds a device. And when Annihilus sees Reed, he zaps and destroys the item that Reed was holding, asking,
"Is that device of value to you? Meat?"
Meat? Is that an insult or a playful nickname? Reed says he was only trying to lure Annihilus close enough to wrap his arm around him and snatch away the cosmic control rod that Annihilus keeps on his neck. Oh, when is Annihilus ever going to learn his lesson? Get some cargo pants with big pockets in it that zip up. Put the cosmic control rod in the pockets so it can't be snatched away so easily. Oh, but then the bad news for Reed is Annihilus tells him that the cosmic control rod is only a symbol. He's got power of his own now. He's power personified. And then Ben starts applying his own power to Annihilus's person, bashing him over and over again, saying that decent people don't deserve to be ruled over by a mook like Annihilus. Oh no, he didn't! Ben whipped out the M-word! But I guess if you can't hurl a racial slur at Annihilus, who can you hurl a racial slur at? If it is a racial slur, I'm not sure. What is a mook? Anything like a scrub, maybe? With the bad guy distracted, Reed takes the cosmic control rod and uses it on his transceptor, the device that can teleport them back to Earth. This opens up an access portal, but to Reed's surprise, it starts to malfunction, and it's sucking stuff into the portal. Reed, Sue, and Johnny hold on for dear life, but Ben gets sucked inside. Reed tries to grab him, but he gets sucked in too far, and Reed says they have to go in after Ben. Annihilus laughs and says,
"Now you shall reap the whirlwind of doom."
On the other side, the FF are back in the dangerous distortion area of the negative zone, sitting on an asteroid, where, as has happened many times before, they are, as Kenny Loggins might say, on a highway to the danger zone, a collision course with the zone of destruction. But as they have done before, Sue creates a force field shaped like an invisible glider, and Johnny fires his flame out the back, and they zoom away from the danger zone. Now Reed says they just need to find the right portal to take them home. And later, near the Eiffel Tower in Paris, a bunch of tourists are surprised when a portal opens up and out pops the Fantastic Four. So it seems like they've made it home. However, Ben notices something odd about the Eiffel Tower. It's not made out of metal. It's made out of bone. Which, in my opinion, makes it even more romantic. Coming next time, a group of bad guys you didn't want to see again, the Ruined, plus the second appearance of my least favorite FF character ever, Valeria. And that completes another lackluster issue of the Fantastic Four. If you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can download other episodes on iTunes and find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over. A scrub is a guy that thinks he's fine and is also known as a buster.